In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today we're just going to take three quick topics that are interrelated. The first is from today's gospel that we just heard. The second is from the gospel of last week and the week before, which was the parable of the sower. And the third topic is today's Saint Mina. And they are all interrelated. But first, from today's gospel, it is actually shocking to hear the words of the Lord. At the beginning of the gospel, he says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sisters, yes, and his own life also, cannot be my disciple. And he who does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." The Lord says, it's as if the Lord is telling us to hate our families, our fathers and mothers, our parents, our wives, our husbands, children, brothers and sisters. But of course, we know that that's not possible for the Lord, who instructed us to love our neighbors as ourselves, the Lord who commanded us in the New Testament to love even our enemies, and the Lord who from the Old Testament and the New Testament has always commanded children to honor our fathers and mothers. And actually, it's a very strong commandment to honor your parents. As we know, in the Old Testament, the punishment for dishonoring our parents was quite severe. So how come the Lord here is saying anyone who does not hate father and mother? It's actually quite shocking to hear a severe word such as hate coming from our loving Lord. But we can always take it in the proper context. We know we don't take certain verses of the gospel out of context, or else we would be confused. As many of us know, many or all of the heresies start when certain people depend on their own knowledge and start nitpicking and take pieces of the Bible without taking it in the proper understanding in the full context of other verses. So he who does not hate father and mother doesn't mean that we literally have to hate our parents, obviously. It means we cannot love our parents without first loving God. Or more clearly, we cannot love our parents or anyone else except through the love to God first. Because if I'm very attached to anyone in this world, and that attachment is outside of Christ, then I could be led with them to my own and their destruction. If I love God first, then I will love others through God. I'm not asked to hate any individual, but it's all relative. Hate father and mother here means do not love them more than God. Means love God first and love them through God. If your parents are godly, you are naturally going to follow their example and be loving them through God. But we all go through stages of our life where there's ups and downs, and God willing, we're all increasing in our spiritual life and coming closer and closer to the Lord. But we do fall, and we have to get up again. Now, we go back to the readings of the last 2 weeks, the parable of the sower. And you remember that this sower was planting seed, and there was three types of land that we said were not very good, were not fruitful. What were the three types of unfruitful lands that were mentioned by the Lord in his example of the sower? The first is called the wayside, right? The wayside is like land that many thousands of people have trodden on, and it becomes very hard. So the seed can't penetrate through the ground, so of course there's no fruit. Of course, if the seed cannot penetrate through my heart, natural, there will be no fruit. If the seed comes in one ear and goes out the other, there will be no fruit. So sometimes, now, before we get into the parable and remind ourselves of what the Lord said, it's important to realize we're not taking this example so I could look and say, oh, he's the wayside, he's got the rocky ground, he's got the thorns. No, this is all for me to self-examine. It's also more important to realize that we all go through stages of our life where we pass through, and our heart is like these different kinds of land. No one is going to be saying, oh, he's bearing fruit 100% all the time. He's now He's got thorns in his heart that are choking the word. So it's important to realize, what state am I in now, and how do I get rid of those obstacles in my life that are preventing me from becoming good land and bearing forth fruit? And if I see my sister or brother that perhaps she's worrying too much or anything else, then it's not for me to judge them, because like I said, we all go through stages and God commands us not to judge each other, but we can pray for them, because when you see someone bearing fruit, sometimes it is very clear. Like when you see Saint Mina, if we were alive at his time, it's very clear that Saint Mina is bearing forth fruit. Saint Mina's heart is tender and is able to take in the word of God and produce much fruit. Saint Mina is so fruitful to the point that as soon as he had barely passed away, and when his sister was with him on the boat, what did his sister ask for from the Lord? She asked intercession of her brother. It's amazing. The saint barely passed away, and his sister is asking for God's mercy through her brother's prayer. So there are people who bear forth fruit, like Pope Kyrillus and Saint Mina, and people who are with us now who are bearing forth fruit, people who have passed away, who are bearing forth fruit even to this day. Back to the parable of the sower. The Lord concluded last week's gospel reading as he did with this week's gospel reading, saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," emphasizing the importance of the point that he just made. Last week, those who were by the wayside were in the stages of my life that I'm refusing to let the word of God enter into my heart. Of course, that's a very dangerous state to be in for myself. Those who were in land that had rocks were those who were allowing the word of God to enter in a shallow way. And that's perhaps in stages of my life where I'm worried what everyone else thinks about me. So I have a shallow relationship with the Lord, just enough to get a check mark from the people. So yes, I will bear forth fruit. Suddenly, it'll pop up because there's no depth. But unfortunately, when the tough times come, like the Lord said, I have to carry my cross. I may perhaps just say, well, no, I don't want to carry my cross. Maybe I'll make a paper cross to carry it so that it appears as if I'm carrying my cross. But that's not going to last. The Lord wants to carry me to carry my cross, you to carry your cross. He's made a cross for each one of us that is suitable for the abilities and for the strength that he has put in each one of us. So we don't want our lives to be like, or our hearts to be like the wayside. Of course, we don't want our hearts to be full of rocks that allow us only to have a shallow relationship with the Lord. But if my life now has rocks, no problem, because the Lord is able to take out the rocks from my heart in order for my heart to be clean again as it was on the day he baptized me. And of course, we also talked about the third type of unfruitful land, which is what we often are struggling with, which is the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of this world. And it is not good to worry. Worrying about things in this world is a sin. It is not good to be dependent on my riches. Dependence on riches and money of this world and my own abilities is a sin. And of course, it's not good to be overly concerned with the temporary pleasures of this world. And we said that, of course, the Lord is allowing us to enjoy this life, but not at the expense of our afterlife. And that's the same principle as loving our parents through the Lord. I don't love my parent to the point that I will follow them blindly even if they lead me away from God, because that's actually not loving my parents. That's hating myself and my parents. If I see that my child or my parent or my husband or my wife is leading me away from the Lord and I just blindly follow them out of emotion or out of an incorrect concept of love, then I am harming both my family and myself. Now, children are asked to honor their parents. So if I see my parent doing something which is harmful to them or to myself or to others, It is not appropriate for me to start lecturing my parents or being rude with them either. That's not what the Lord is saying. But you could pray for them and you could talk to them as you get older in a way that's appropriate, in a loving manner, to draw them and yourself back and closer to the Lord. Back to the thorns that choke the word of the Lord from taking fruit or having action in my life. We said there's three types: the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of the world. And it's fitting, we're about to start a season of fasting. We're about to start the fast of the Advent. And it is appropriate that we remind ourselves of the meaning of fasting. Fasting is not just stopping one kind of food, starting one and a different type, or missing our breakfast and starting to eat later in the day, but fasting involves all our being. Fasting has to be accompanied by prayer, or else it's fruitless. Just like prayer without fasting is also not as effective. So we need to have the prayer to go along with the fasting. And the fasting has to be a complete fast. So I have to fast, my eyes have to fast, just like my stomach fasts, my ears have to fast, my time has to fast, meaning that I should spend less time doing certain things that are leading me away from the Lord. Or let's say we're not doing anything that leads us away from the Lord. But we all have certain hobbies. Some of them are good. Let's say all of them are good. But not all of them are as good as certain other ones. So in our fasting, we can devote less time to things that are not as fruitful, more time to things that are fruitful in our spiritual lives. Similarly, so that's in our caring. To get rid of our worries about this life, we need prayer, we said. To get rid of our dependence on riches of this world, we have to give a little bit more than we do. And we all give, and I know everyone here is very generous, both in giving of our time, giving in our effort, helping out in the church, helping out with our brothers and sisters who are in needy. But we all have to reassess, how much has the Lord given me in effort? How much has the Lord given me in strength and in health and in wealth? And how much am I really giving, at least a tenth of all those things back to the Lord? Or am I hogging it all for myself? And if I'm hogging it all for myself, then it's back to the part where the Lord says, you can't love your own life more than me. You have to love me more than you love yourself. You have to give to me and to your brothers and sisters in me. And we have to have this correct understanding of love. We are a very emotional society, so sometimes we get all excited and heated up and think we're doing things for the right reasons, but we have to reassess ourselves and realize love here is very practical. Love doesn't need me to make a lot of noise. Love doesn't need me to make a pompous affair of what I'm doing. Love here is rooted in the Lord, grounded in the Lord, so I can bear fruit and become myself closer and closer to the Lord. Finally, as Saint Mina did, Saint Mina spent, as you heard Abuna read in the Synaxar, Saint Mina devoted his life to fasting, praying, and living a Christian life. That's what allowed Saint Mina to become Saint Mina. It wasn't overnight that he became the great saint and wonder worker that we know today. He struggled a long life of fasting, prayer, and living a Christian life. And living a Christian life obviously means everything you know, having a virtuous life, giving and helping and doing everything that he could to be close to the Lord. So we want to be like Saint Mina. We ask for the intercession of Saint Mina. And we also have to focus on the last part of today's gospel. The Lord didn't just leave it that you have to love him more than we do our families, but he asked us to carry our cross. And he said to take things seriously. He said you have to be prepared. The part where he says no one goes to build a tower without first calculating the cost. So he has told us that this road to him involves carrying our cross. It does involve suffering. It doesn't involve suffering in vain, or else no one would do that in their right mind. But with the cross comes the glory of life with him and with the resurrection. So he is commanding us to carry the cross that's given to us by him. He is commanding us to do it, but to do it seriously. not to do us haphazardly, to realize that there will be suffering, but you have to willfully suffer with him in order to live with him forever. Glory be to God forever. Amen.
Yeah.